ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله we'll continue with the sharh of the book Bulugh al-Maram. We are in the chapter of Al-Hawala wa Al-Daman. We said Al-Daman means surety, that is for somebody to stand as a guarantor for another person. Taking it upon himself or herself to pay the debt owed by a person, maybe a dead person or a living person. Such a person is called Dhaminun or Dhamin. The word Kafil and Kafala. What is the difference between Al-Daman and Al-Kafala? We try to make a difference between the two in the last class on Bulugh al-Maram. What is kafala? What is the difference between al-kafala and al-daman? Who can assist us? Al-kafala and al-daman, what is the difference? Nobody? What is al-kafala? Now? Now, kafil. Kafil is a guarantor. Domin is also a guarantor. Kafala is guarantee. Doman is also guarantee. But what is the difference between kafil and domin? Is there any difference?
Yes.
What's the difference?
The kafil, you produce
yes, this is the difference that we established last class, that a domain is one who is going to pay on behalf of the person who is owing. But a kafil is going to produce the person that is owing. That is a kafil. So not compulsory, it's not compulsory on him to pay. But if the person who has who is owing the force, he will be the one to produce him. Take for instance, somebody is owing a debt, maybe he buys something from the person and is unable to pay. He now says, okay, give me 2 weeks, I will pay you. The one who is owed, that is the creditor, says, no, I'm not going to give you this number of days unless you produce a kafil. Then the somebody now says, okay, if he doesn't pay, I will bring him. I will fetch him back to you. So this such a person is called kafil. Such a person is kafil. But if he's going to pay back the money, it's called domin or domin. So the act of the person who is going to pay back is called domin, while the act of the person who is going to produce the debtor is called kafala. is called kafala. So this is the difference that was established in the last class concerning al-kafala and al-daman, or al-kafil and al-damin or damin. However, some scholars, they say there is no difference between the two. That is, every kafil is damin and every damin is kafil. They don't differentiate the two, between the two. And that's why if you look at the way Ibn Hajar put his book, he said, Babu al-hawalati wa-daman. The chapter of al-hawala, we have discussed this, that is transferring of a debt to another person. Huh? Then al-daman, we said daman is what? Guarantee. The reason why we said it did not differentiate between the two is the hadith that we are going to read now. It said, وَعَنْ عَمِرِ بِنْ شُعَيْبٍ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ جَدِّهِ قَالَ. From Amr, the son of Shu'ayb, from his father, Shu'ayb, from his grandfather. When this is said, it's referring to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Asi radiallahu anhu. قال, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا كفالة في حد رواه البيهقي بإسناد ضعيف. He said, Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there is no كفالة في حد in what? In a hajj. What is hajj? What is hajj? We have known the meaning of kafala, that is a guarantee or surety. What is hajj? Punishment. Punishment. Now the word hajj, if it is used in the Sharia, we have to look at the context. Because at times it may mean the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take for instance, Allah may say, Tilka hududullah. Tilka hududullah. These are the limits of Allah. That is, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made. Fala ta'taduha. Do not go beyond them. So here is what is referring to what? Law. And at times it may be what? The ma'asi, that is the sin committed by people. And at times it may be the punishment that is attached to that sin. So in this case, the word haddiyah is referring to the punishment attached to a particular sin. So and that's why we also understand this. La kafarat, la kafalata. There is no kafala. There is no what? Kafala. No surety. Fi haddin min hududillah. In what? In any punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put them. No kafala. What does this mean? Somebody commits zina, for instance, and the person is to be stoned to death. The person is to be stoned to death for committing zina as a married man or a married woman. Somebody now says, the person now says, okay, before the punishment is carried out, let me go and say goodbye to my family. And now said, the Qadi, for instance, now say, no, we are not going to allow you to say goodbye to them because you may run away. Somebody now says, let him go and say goodbye to his family, I will stand for him. Is it permissible? Huh? It's not permissible. Now, why is it not permissible? Why is it not permissible? So if he runs away, are we going to stone the person that has stood on his behalf? Are we going to stone him to death? So we can't transfer this punishment on this man. And this man may run away, or the woman may run away. So if it has to do with what? Inflicting punishment on somebody, and someone now say, I stand on his behalf, should this be accepted? So a lot of scholars said, no, this should not be accepted. Because the person involved may run away. And if he runs away, the person that is standing on his behalf, we cannot carry out that punishment on him. Some scholars said, if it has to do with the rights of Allah, then in that case, we should not allow him. But if it has to do with the rights of other people, then if they say they want to allow him, then in a situation like that, he can be allowed. Take for instance, somebody who commits zina, and somebody says he's going to stand in his place, maybe he should be allowed to say farewell, so to say, to his people, that he's going to stand in his place. So the haddu of zina, the punishment of zina, is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they said in a situation like this, this should not be allowed. Why? They said, la kafalata fi hajj. There is no kafala in what? In hajj. But if it is another person's threat, maybe somebody accuses another person of zina. This is what? Qazf. Is it the right of Allah or the right of that person? Or maybe he speaks ill of a person, he defames another person, or he slanders another person. If the person likes, he may overlook that, okay, I overlook what you have done to me. But if somebody slanders you, you say, if you like him, you say what? Set him free. And if you like him, you say what? You should be punished. Some scholars say this is the person's right. So in a situation like this, if you see another person that says he's going to stand in his place, he said we should allow him to do that. So some scholars, they said it. And some said it should be allowed. Why should it be allowed? They said this hadith is da'if. This hadith, la kafalata fi haddin, is hadithun da'if. So there is no basis. But the most important thing is that if the person that commits a crime that ought to be punished or ought to be killed, if somebody is standing in his place, if he is unable to bring him, the person will not be killed in his place. So this is established. But it is compulsory on him to fetch that person, because he has taken it upon himself that he will be responsible for bringing that person, for fetching him. And since the person has run away now, it will be compulsory on him to do that. Scholars, they have a lot of things on this. Some said if those who have stood on his behalf, maybe they are prominent people in the society, that the person that they are standing for ordinarily would not like to stain them as well. Let's say, for instance, the king of a town now is standing in place of a person that has committed a crime. And that person knows that if he runs away, this will be an attack on the king. He would not like to run away. But it is compulsory on the king to fetch him, or the ruler to fetch him, or the prominent person that has stood in his place to fetch him. But he will not be killed in his place. That is established. What if he now looks for him, and he can't find him? Then this reward will be lifted, because he can't kill that person. And that's why scholars who have said what? La kafalata fi haddin. That though the hadith is da'if, but there is no kafala, because there is no real benefit in the kafala. Why standing in the place of a person, that when the person runs away, you can be punished in his place. You cannot be taken or held responsible for that. And that's why, Wallahu A'lam, the more correct opinion is that it's not permissible to do that. Though the text, the hadith is not authentic, but when we look at the benefit of Baman or Kafala, we say there is no benefit in being a kafil for somebody that ought to be punished. And you now say, okay, and maybe you should be delayed. So you are going to fetch that person. If he runs away, we can punish you. So there is no benefit in that. So, Wallahu A'lam, but the hadith is hadith that is da'if. Now, Ibn Hajar did not say Babu al-Hawala to al-Damani wal-Kafala. He used the hadith on Kafala, he used it under what? Under the topic Daman, which means he does not differentiate between al-Kafala and Daman, the way he has arranged it in this book. And that's why some scholars will use what? Al-Kafala and Daman, they use them interchangeably. That is, Kafala means what? Daman, and Daman means Kafala. Both of them, if we want to translate them, we say what? We say guarantee. We say guarantee. But one has to do with what? You paying the debt of the person who is owing. Maybe a dead person or a living person. You what? Taking the debt on yourself that you are going to pay. So this is what? Daman. But Kafala, as you said, has to do with you standing in place of somebody who has committed a crime, that you are going to fetch that person that has committed that crime. They should leave it for you. This is what? This is kafala. But daman, the word daman can also be used to refer to kafala, according to some scholars. Babu sharkati wal wakala. The next chapter has to do with Ash-Sharka and Al-Wakala. What is Ash-Sharka? Ash-Sharka means partnership. It's an Arabic word that means what? Coming together of two people or more. It can be called Ash-Sharka or Ash-Sharka or Ash-Sharka. These are the various ways that we pronounce the word. But it means what? Coming together of two or more persons. Take for instance, if I say Shariktuhu fi shay'in, it means I partnered with him concerning a particular thing. So this is sharka, that is partnership. Now, there are different types of partnership. And people have always been partner for long. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he said, فَأُمْ شُرَكَاء فِي الثُّلْثِ فَأُنْ شُرَكَاءُ فِي الثُّلُثِ. Shuraka, that is the plural of sharik. So they will be what? They will be partners in thuluth, in one third. Talking about the children from one mother. So they will be shuraka fi thuluth. They will be sharing thuluth, one third. So Allah use the word sharik there. Then the word khulto can also mean word shirka. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبُغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ. That the khulata, that is the shuraka, those who are partners, لَيَبُغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. They will cheat one another. Allah said, this is what the nature of man. الخلطاء يبغي بعضهم على بعض إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا صالحات. Except those who believe in Allah وعملوا الصالحات and they do righteous deeds. وقليل ما هم. But they are few. They are what? They are few. And that's why when two people come together, they say, okay, we are partners. We want to do business. Look at it critically. There is going to be what? Cheating. In this partnership that they are what? That they are entering. The nature of man is that what? He wants to cheat another person. That's the nature of man. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that wa inna kathira min al-khulata. A lot of the khulata, of the partners, they yabghi ba'dhum ala ba'din, they cheat one another. Illa alladhina amanu, except those who believe wa amilu salihat and they do righteous deeds. Wa qalilun ma'hum. And these people are few. If people stick to iman and they stick to righteous deeds and they come together to do business, there won't be cheating. There won't be transgression. But the nature of mankind is that what? We want to cheat one another. So the Shah idea is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word khulata, meaning what? Shuraka, partner. So, and that's why partnership is something that has been in existence for long, for people to come together. And this is something that assists a lot of people. Now, there are different types of partnership, as I've said. There is one scholar who calls Sherkatu Amlak. Sherkatu Amlak. That is ownership of a thing that is coming together of people that is like imposed on them. Take for instance a father that leaves behind children and he leaves behind bequests. They are going to inherit what he has left behind. So those children, they are what? They are shuraka fil irth. They are partners in what? In the inheritance. Nobody can say, oh, it's mine, it's not yours. Because they are all children of the man. So the one who is saying, who is going to say that you are not entitled to this, must be bring an evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah to say a particular child is not entitled to the bequest of his father or his mother. So they are shuraka. So this is the scholars, they will call it Sherkatu Amlak, the partnership that you are all entitled to. Example of this is somebody giving you something, a gift. Said, okay, the four of you share this. So we are all what? Shuraka. You can't say, no, you are not entitled to this. Because this is what? A gift. And it's given to the four or the three of us. So this they call Sherkatu Amlak. Or two people, three people come together. It's okay, let us buy this farm. And the three of them bought the farm. This is what? Partnership. So he can't say, no, you are not part of us, when he has what? Contributed in taking possession of this thing or in buying this thing. The other one is called Sherkatu Uqud. That is partnership that has to do with what? Contract. We want to do business. So we come together to do this business. This may come in different ways. There is one called Sherkatul Inan. Sherkatul Inan is when the parties, the partners, when they come together and the resources they put down, they are all what? They are all owners of this. Take for instance, we want to establish a business. We need 100,000 naira, four of us. I put down 25,000 naira, you put down 25,000 naira, put down 25,000 naira, this put down 25,000 naira. Or this one put down 30,000, this one put down. So like that, we come together. Then the four of us, or the three of us, it depends on the number of those who are doing it, we are going to participate with it, with our watch, with our bodies. the capital for the business is provided by all of us. Working in it, we are all going to work, participate in it effectively. There is nobody that will be dormant. All of us are participating in it effectively. This, the scholars of fiqh will call what? Sherkatu al-Ainan. It's like they are equal in it. In this type of sherka, most of the people who have participated in it, their profit is going to be according to their share. Most of the time, their profit is going to be according to their share. So, and the loss is going to be according to their contribution as well. Most of the time. And this is where people operate it now. And that's why if you look at the partnership of today, you see people do this. Maybe there is a company, and this company, maybe you are buying shares. When you buy shares from this company, are you participating in Sherkatul Inan or not?
No.
You are not participating in Sherkatul Inan. Why? Because you are not participating effectively. So we are still coming to when you are just participating with your phone, with your money, but you are not participating with what? With your body. But when you are participating with your body and with your money, this is called Sherkatul Inan. The second type of sherka is Sherkatu al-Abdan. Sherkatu al-Abdan, meaning the partnership of the body. You are not paying any money, it's just what? Using your body. Maybe a fisherman coming together now, whatever they catch from the river or the sea, they will put everything together and they will sell. When they sell, their profit is going to be according to what? The agreement. If I catch 5, you catch 10, you are going to put everything together, and when we sell, we what? We distribute, we share the profit according to what? Our agreement. Maybe it's 50-50, it's 50-50. It does not matter, maybe I cash more than you today. Or carpenters or furniture makers coming together, working with what? With their bodies. So this one may get work today, the other one may not get. Tomorrow, the other one may get, this one will not get. So whatever profit they make, they are going to share it according to what? The agreement. This is called what? Sherkatul Abdan. It's called Sherkatul Abdan when they are using their body only. It's called Sherkatul Inan when they are using their body and what?
Their money.
Then there is what is called Sherkatul Mudaraba. Sherkatu al-Mudaraba. This is when one of the partners is putting down money, and the other is what? Trading with the money. One of the partners is putting down money, the other is what? Trading with the money. And their profit is going to be shared according to what? The agreement. And the agreement must be in what? In ratio or percentage. Huh? The agreement is going to be what? Be in ratio or percentage. And the amount that is going to be given to the person to trade in must be what? Known amount. To avoid what? To avoid any quarrel or misunderstanding. So known amount, the profit that they are going to share is going to be according to the arrangement. It does not matter because that you are the one putting down the capital, they definitely must be taking what? 80% of the profit. Doesn't matter. It depends on your agreement. It may be 50-50. Sharia-wise, there is nothing wrong with it. Maybe 30-70, maybe 80-20. It may be 90-10, even 95-5. It depends on your agreement. And when the money is given to the person, it depends on how he has allowed the person to watch, to do it. Maybe he has said, okay, this money that I'm giving to you, you can do any business with it that is halal. On condition that watch, you should not buy maybe cattle with what, with this animal, with this money. In that case, he has what, exempted. So when the second party or a partner, if he goes and buys something that the other partner said what, you should not buy, then he will be what, responsible for that. Because they have had an agreement that don't buy this. So they give him the money, maybe for a period of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, it depends. So if there is a profit, it's going to be shared by both of them based on what they have agreed upon. And if there is loss, the loss is going to be borne by the owner of the money. What will be the loss of the other person, the other party that's trading with it? He has lost his own expertise. But the one who has put down the money is going to lose what? His money. This one will lose his expertise. So this is what? Sharkatu al-Mudaraba. So most companies today, they fall under this. They fall under Sharkatu al-Mudaraba. There will be board of directors. The board of directors, they will be using people's money to trade. Then there will be shareholders. The shareholders, they will be buying shares. So who are the owners of the company? The shareholders or the board of directors? Huh? The shareholders are the owner of the company. So the board of the director, they are just what? Huh? They are what? Using their expertise. So they are working together with the shareholder. They are partners of the shareholder. So this type of sharekat is what? Sharekatu al-mudaraba. You are giving them your money to watch, to trade with it. Now let's digress a bit. When can I buy shares in a company? When can I buy shares in a company? Or in which company can I buy shares? We have said what? The shareholders are owner of the company. Huh? The shareholders are owner of the company. In which company can I buy shares? And in which company can't I cannot buy shares? Now, we all agree that the company that you can buy shares in must not involve in haram, must not be dealing in haram. So you can't buy shares from companies that are what, trading in intoxicants, in companies that are what, in gambling, in riba. Because what? Because they are all dealing in things that are haram. So you can't buy shares of the bank, the conventional banks. You can't buy their shares. Why? Because they are dealing in what? In riba. So when you buy shares from a bank, it means what? You are what? You are dealing in riba. Because the shareholders are the owner of the company. So when you buy shares in a company that is dealing in haram, then you are dealing in haram. Now, can I buy shares in a company that is getting loan from riba, from a riba-based bank? Can I get loan? Can I buy shares in such a company? Huh? Why no? Huh? Will get to me. The proceeds of river will get to me. Because if there is, maybe the board of directors of a company, they decide that, oh, well, we ought to get a loan of river to promote this company and to make our company progress. So the shareholder is what? The shareholders are the owners of the company. Since that is sanctioned, it means what? It is the shareholders that are getting loan with river. And when it is haram to get loan with what? With river. Is it clear? So, it's not permissible for me to buy shares in a company, for instance, that is producing music, even if they are not getting loan from the river-based bank. Likewise, it's not permissible for me to buy shares in a company that is producing a soft drink, but they are getting loan from the river-based company. It's clear. So the one that is permissible for me is to buy shares from a company that is producing something that is what? Halal, and it's not getting loan from the bank. This is what is permissible for me. So, and that's why scholars, the fiqh councils, the one under OIC, Organization of Islamic Conference, or the fiqh council under Muslim World League, they have series of sitting discussing issues like this. Economic experts were invited and they thrashed out issues like this. And their conclusion is that if a company is indebted to a bank, even 1% indebted to a bank, 1% river is in it. 1% river, that you can't buy shares in such a company. Because that company is what? Is borrowing with river. And when you when a company borrows in river, the shareholders are what? Are those who have borrowed it. Because the board of directors, they are only what? They are working on behalf of the shareholders. So this is the conclusion of the fiqh councils. Now there are some scholars who said, well, things have been so rough and so difficult, so let us say maybe if the riba is not indebted to, sorry, the company is not indebted to a bank, maybe if it is not more than 10% of the whole capital, some said 5%, some said 1%, there is no upward conclusion that we can see by it. Now the question now is, even let's say 10%, which company today, you know, in Nigeria here, that is indebted to the river based bank to the tune of 10%? Is there any company that you know that just the indebtedness of that company is just, it's no more than 10% to the river based company? That is any of the popular companies that you know. Coca-Cola. It's difficult. Even not Dangote. Not none of them. Because most of these people, they get loans from the bank. They get loans from the bank. And you as a shareholder, you want to buy shares. You buy shares from company like this. That means what? You are also what? Whatever loan they get from the bank, you are part and parcel of them. It is only in Saudi Arabia that they have tried. The scholars, they are really working on what the fiqh councils have agreed upon. To the extent that what most companies, they are forced to be purifying their business. So those who are dealing in some of the haram products, they change them to what products that are good. Because they know the people will not patronize them. Because the people listen to the scholars, what the scholars say, they say don't buy shares in companies like this, oh, this company is trading this, so they avoid. And most companies, they are after what? Money, how to make money. So because of the demand of the populace, they are forced to change what? Their products. And those who are indebted, who are used to what? Borrowing from banks with riba. When they see that people are not patronizing them, they are also what? Changing. So, and that's why in Saudi Arabia now things have improved tremendously. But in other countries, you see that even the government, they are promoting this. They trivialize the issue of riba. In fact, the government may be the one that will be asking people to participate in what? In riba. And that's why we should understand this. So you can't just jump into a company saying you want to buy shares. You're looking for how to make money. Because buying share means what? You are one of the owners of the company. And it means whatever the board of directors, whatever they do, they are doing it on your behalf. So it means you are the one borrowing with what? With riba. However, this is not extended to the one who is working in the company. If the company is what producing something that is halal, then you are working there, it does not matter to you whether the owner of that company is what? Is borrowing with riba. I hope it is clear. So it's not your own fault. Whether the owner is what? Borrowing with riba. Yours is that what is producing must be something that is what? Halal. And if it's producing something that is halal and haram, both of them, and you want to work in such a company, as long as where you are working, they are producing what is halal there, not what is what? Haram, you can still work there. Like jurists, generally, maybe where you are working there, they are producing malt, for instance, now. You are not engaged in the production of alcohol or intoxicants. Then in that case, one can still work in that department. Somebody has a supermarket, for instance, now, and it doesn't matter to him what he sells. He's selling intoxicants, he's selling this. And you are employed as a sales boy. As long as the person gives you the right that when they want to buy intoxicants, you may not sell it to them, then you can still work there as long as what you are selling what is halal. But if it is imposed on you that you have to sell what is what haram in that case, then in that case you can patronize or you can sell such. So this is called Sharkatul Mudaraba. Then there is Sharkatul Ujur. Sharkatul Ujur is when you do not have money. You do not have what? Money. And you want to get some commodities. So maybe Mr. A and B, they come together using the honor and their personality to get commodities from the merchant. Let's come together. So when we come together, you use your personality to get some products, some goods on credit. I use my personality to get some products, some goods on credit. Then we'll put this thing, we'll put them together. I'll be selling them. I'll be making profit. And the profit is going to be maybe according to what we have agreed upon. Or it's going to be according to what we have, according to what I've brought. But the most important is that what we are pulling the commodities that we are able to get on credit from different, so we'll come together to form partnership. This is a call what? Sharkatul Ujur. That is the partnership that has to do with each of the individuals involved using their personality to get goods on credit. This is also what? Permissible. Why we say it is permissible is that the basis in al-mu'amalat is what? Permissibility. If it is ibadah, the issue of salah, the issue of fasting and so on, hajj, the basis is that it is haram for you to do anything except with test. But when it has to do with mu'amalat, the basis is that what? You can do what you like, unless there is a text forbidding you from doing a particular thing. If there is no text, so nobody can stop you from what? Transacting in a way. Because there is no text forbidding you. And Allah said what? وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا is the one that has created for you all that is on the surface of the earth. So the one who will say you can't eat a particular thing, or you cannot buy a particular thing, or you can't transact in a particular thing, must come up with evidence. So these are the classifications that scholars have. There is one that is called Shirkatul Mufawwada. Shirkatul Mufawwada, according to a lot of scholars, covers all these shirkats. It's like somebody is now saying, okay, I'm entrusting you with my goods, my money. You can sell, you can buy on my behalf, so we are together. So if you look at it, it takes part of what? Shirkatul Mudaraba, takes part of Shirkatul Inan, it takes part of Shirkatul Uju. It covers all this. So these are the shirkat that the scholars of fiqh will always discuss. Now the author says Babu Sharika, the chapter of what? Ash-Sharika wal wakala and al wakala. What is wakala? Wakala means agency. We have wakil, which means an agent, and we have atil, which means the principal. According to the principle in usul, they will say what? Lil wakil ukmul atil. The ruling for the wakil, the ruling of the atil, that is the principal, is the ruling of the wakil. When scholars talking about wakala, whatever you atil, the principal, the owner, whatever you can do, is what the wakil can also do, except in some areas. Take for instance, when it comes to issue of salah, there is no wakala there. You cannot be an agent for a person what in salah, that the person has not prayed his what in salah, okay, I will pray on your behalf. No. So there are some issues like that, particularly issues of ibadah, that is not allowed to be a wakil for a person. But with respect to Hajj, for instance, now, can I be a wakil for somebody with respect to Hajj? Yes, if there is what? There is a need for that. Maybe the person that I want to be a wakil for is dead. Or maybe the person is what? Is old to the extent that what? He cannot perform Hajj anymore. So we have evidence for this. Which means there are part of ibadah that we can do on behalf of somebody. Like the one who says Allahumma labbayka and shubruma. Doing labbayka on behalf of a man called shubruma. So it was said that Messenger of Allah, Abdullah ibn Abbas, said, who is shubruma? He said, it's my relative. He said, Al-Hajjaj al-Nafsika, have you performed Hajj for yourself? He said, no. He said, Hujja al-Nafsika, perform Hajj on behalf of yourself. Summa Hujja and Shubruma. Then you can perform Hajj on behalf of Shubruma. So this is an evidence that you can perform Hajj on behalf of somebody. But the person must be a person that maybe is incapacitated. Or maybe the person is no more alive. As if one is performing Hajj or Umrah on behalf of one's late mother or late father, this is permissible. But in the case of Salah, you cannot perform Salah on behalf of somebody. Maybe there is somebody that has not prayed for a month, for instance, now. And I say, okay, I'm going to collect money from him, or I'm going to do it free of charge. All this Salah that he has not prayed, oh Allah, I want to pray on behalf of this man so that he uses my Salah to overlook his what? His Salah that he has not. No. Likewise, fasting. There are some fasting that you can do on behalf of somebody And there are some that you cannot do on behalf of somebody. Somebody who is sick, for instance, now, and the person is unable to fast the month of Ramadan. After Ramadan has gone, the person becomes well. The first month did not pay back the Ramadan he has missed. Second month, third month, he now dies. Which means the person is what? Is owing the fasting of Ramadan because he has become okay after the Ramadan. So because he delayed his paying back, that is why he is unable to pay back. Such a person, we can assist in what? In paying. Because he's not negligent. How do you explain? It's not that what he did not want to fast. But somebody who is okay in the month of Ramadan is okay, not that he's on a journey, but he doesn't fast. You as a relative in 9 years, you hear that maybe he didn't fast in Ramadan, and I say, okay, let me fast on his behalf. No. This person is negligent. You cannot fast on his behalf. You can only fast on behalf of somebody who is not negligent. How this is clear? So what I'm trying to say is that when we talk about wakala, wakala means what? Agency. Or you being in position of another person. This is something that is permissible in most things. In most things, except areas where we have what? Where we have exception. So you can assist somebody in selling and buying. You can assist somebody in marrying. You can assist somebody even in divorcing. If somebody, for instance, say, okay, this is my daughter. I want you to be in my position in marrying her off. That's the wakil. He has transferred his power to you. So one can do it. Somebody may say, okay, I want to divorce my wife, for instance, now, but I want you to watch, to assist me in divorcing my wife. I've transferred that to you. That is, you are going to deliver the message to her. This is what? Wakala. So almost in everything, there is what? There is permissibility for wakala, except in some what? Some few things. We have this. It happened in the time of the Salaf. Somebody who divorced his wife and he wrote a letter, gave somebody to come and give to the wife. So just as what you have evidence for those, somebody said, okay, I want to marry off my daughter. When it is time for my daughter to also get married, I'm putting you in place of what? On myself. That is, you are my wakil. And this was done. So it is what? Permissible. But the one that the author is talking here is what? The one that has to do with business. Asherikatu wal wakala. This, the basis is what? Permissibility. The basis is permissibility. Unless if you see a text saying what? One cannot do it. Both wakala and sharika, basis is what? Permissibility. Unless we see a text that says we can't do it. Now the first hadith brought here, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala Allahu ana thalithu sharikain ma lam yakun ahduhuma sahiba fa idha khana kharajtu min baynihima, rawahu Abu Dawud wa sahahu al-Hakim. The first hadith the author brought is the hadith of Abu Hurairah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah says, I am the third of the two partners. I am the third of the two partners. Two people have come together to do business. I am their third. I'll be giving them support, putting barakah in their transaction. مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ أَحْدُهُمَا صَاحِبًا. As long as what? One of them has not wronged the other. And don't forget, Allah said what? وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ. He said, most partners, they cheat one another. Except those who believe and they do righteous deeds. And these are few. These are what? They are few. So the nature of mankind is what? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَرِيْشِ. We want everything to be ours. That's our nature. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانِ هَلُوَى. So one is always eager to get money, to get, to amass wealth. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعَ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعَ. He wants good, often, always good, that is what he wants. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. When evil falls on him, he becomes something different. He may be speaking ill of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may be saying a lot of rubbish. So it is said that what? أَنَا ثَالِثُ الشَّرِكَيْنِ مَا لَمْ يَخُنْ أَحْدُهُمَ الْآخَرَ صَحِبًا. As long as one of them have not cheated the other. فَإِذَا خَانَ. When he cheats him, خَرَجْتُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمَا. I'll go out of both of them. That is, I'm not a party to this. It's just like when one of the companions gave a son, one of his children, he gave him a plot of land, or a garden. So the mother of that child now said, go and tell the Messenger of Allah Sassan that you have given the child his garden. Numan bin Bashir, that is the son. Bashir is the father. When Bashir went to the Messenger of Allah Sassan and said, O Messenger of Allah, this garden of mine, I've given it to Numan. Messenger of Allah was surprised. You have many children. How can you give a garden to one of your children? Akulla waladik nahaltahu akada. Have you given similar things to all other children? He said, no. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? Izhab fa ashhid ala hada ghayri fa inni la ashhadu ala jawr. Go and call another person to witness this. I'm not a witness to injustice. So the shahid is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a party to anything that is injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا. Allah does not wrong the people at all. وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. But the people are the ones wronging themselves. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ibadi, O my servant, inni haramtu dhulma ala nafsi. I forbade on myself injustice. Wa ja'altu bainakum muharrama. And I made injustice to be haram on you, that you should not work. Fala tadhalamu. Do not wrong one another. But as you said, wa inna kathiran min al khulata. A lot of khulata, partners, لَيَبُغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. They will transgress on one another. They will cheat one another. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who believe وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they do their children. وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ. If your shuraka, your father, leave something behind, you as the elder, the eldest, you want to take watch. You want to take much. Or you want to sit on it so that your younger ones will not get anything. Or maybe a wife may want to sit on it, preventing other wives from what? From getting it. كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ. So this hadith said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا خَانَ خَرَجْتُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمَا. When a betrays, خَرَجْتُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمَا. I go out of both of them. This hadith is not sahih, it's not authentic. But the meaning of the hadith is what? Is authentic, based on the verses that what we have brought and the hadith that have been cited. But the hadith here is not what? Is not authentic. Just like what? Just like the hadith concerning kafala that was quoted. وعن سعيد بن يزيد from سعيد بن يزيد المخزومي أنه كان شريك النبي قبل البعثة فجاء يوم الفتح فقال مرحبا بأخي وشريكي. Likewise, from Sa'd ibn Yazid al-Makhzumi, it was said that كان شريك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل البعثة. It was the sharik of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم before he was raised as the Messenger. فجاء يوم الفتح. So he came on the day of Fath. فقال مرحبا بأخي وشريكي. Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, you are welcome, my brother and my partner. رواه أحمد وأبو داود وابن ماجة. أحمد and أبو داود and ابن ماجة recorded this. Now this hadith is what hadith Hassan is. Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم did business before he was raised as a messenger. We all read the hadith of Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم working with Khadija رضي الله عنها. He was working under Khadija, and because of his honesty, this led Khadija radiallahu anha, who was older than the Messenger of Allah sallam, to marry, to be interested in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what? The marriage was concluded, and she became the first wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she had a lot of children. Our Messenger of Allah had a lot of children from Khadija radiallahu anha. Now, the shahidah is that Messenger of Allah salam, did business before he was raised as a messenger. Not only with Khadija, he was assisting people in rearing animals in Makkah. And they would pay him for that before he became what? He became an employee with Khadija radiallahu anha. So after he was raised as a messenger, he would still want to engage in business, like the one of Sa'd ibn Yazid. Messenger of Allah salam, was what? Was dealing with him. Though a lot of scholars will say it is good for somebody who is a learned person or a scholar or a judge not to participate directly in what? In business with people. Why? Because there will be favoritism. Someone who is a judge, for instance, now, wants to buy something from you. You want to what? Sell well for him. So that the day you get case, he will look you with what? Mercy. So the Salafu Sali, a lot of them that occupied the position of what? Of judgment. They will prefer using somebody else to get whatever they want to buy. They will not want to go direct so that somebody will not be doing a kind of favor for them. Because they want to be strict when it is time for them to judge. Whether it's the closest person to them that is guilty, they will tell him you are guilty. Because they've not eaten anything that is what is haram. But this is what is just a kind of trying to take the way of Zuhud in things. But the original rule is that it is permissible to deal directly with people, whether you are a judge or not. Because the Messenger of Allah Islam was a judge and he related with people. Some of the hadith that you have read, he related with people as what? As a human being. To the extent that what? He wanted to buy something and a Jewish man said, no, I'm not going to sell it to you. So Messenger of Allah will be indebted to people and you ask, maybe when it is time to pay, you ask them to give more than what he has gotten from the people. And many other hadiths that you have read, this shows that whether you are a judge or you are a scholar, or that doesn't mean you cannot. But when you know that when you are a scholar or you are a judge, this position of you will want you to be thinking that people should what? Be favoring you. Then in that case, it is good for you to use another person, another source to get what you want. Otherwise, This will mean that what you are using your status in order to get something cheaper, which is what? Which is wrong. Which is wrong. But if you know that, no, how much do you sell this? How much do you? The person tells you, okay, I want to give you cheaper. No, no. Sell it the amount that you are selling it. Then there is nothing wrong in this. But if the reason why you are trying to be the one that will be showing up in whatever business you want to engage, whatever commodity you want to buy, is because you want people to watch, to give you discount, because you are a malam, because you are a kofi, because you are a teacher, then this is not a good thing. Messenger of Allah SWT never used his post to get what things cheaper from the people. In fact, he will want to pay more when he buys something like that from people. Like when he saw Jabir radiallahu anhu having what? A camel that was weak. And Jabir almost set the camel free. That let the camel be going. The Messenger of Allah saw him and he pitied him. He said, oh, sell this camel to me. He said, okay, I will buy so and so amount. When we get to Medina, I will pay you. Jabir said, okay, I'm ready to sell it, but on condition that what? I will ride this camel to Medina. Messenger of Allah said, no harm. When he got to Medina, Messenger of Allah said, okay, this is the money for your camel. Jabir on the line, he said, okay, this is camel. Messenger of Allah said, go away with it. What am I going to do with your camel? So he paid him, he assisted him, and despite this, he did not take the camel that he bought from him. This is the attitude of the Messenger of Allah. Whenever he has, he will do, he will assist people. But if he doesn't have, if people do for him, he will also watch, accept. But on condition that what? It does not come in the name of Sadaqah. If it comes in the name of Sadaqah, he doesn't take that. But if it comes in the name of what? Hiba, gift, he takes. But he have it in mind that he's going to watch, he's going to compensate that person. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he gets something from you, he looks for a way of compensating you. When you give him gift, he not want that to watch to end with him. He want to watch reciprocate that. But if it is Sadaqah, he won't take it for himself. So the essence that one of his grandchildren, Al-Hassan also, took a date of Sadaqah and put it in his mouth. And Messenger of Allah put his finger in the mouth of this young boy and what? He pulled it out. Said, أَمَا تَدْرِي أَنَّ صَدَقَ لَا تَحِلُّ لِمُحَمَّدٍ وَلَا لِأَهْلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. Don't you know that Sadaqah is not lawful for Muhammad and for the family of Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that example, that when you look at his way of life, a lot of things to be emulated. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود قال اشتركت أنا وعمار وسعد فيما نصيب يوم بدر الحديث رواه النسائي وغيره. عبد الله بن مسعود is reported to have said that I and Ammar and Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas, the three of us, we are what? We are partners. That whatever booty we get in the battle of Badr, we know the battle of Badr. This is the battle that the Muslims triumphed on over the Kuffar. They got a lot of booties in this war. So when they were setting out for the war, Abdullah bin Musaruddin, Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas, and Ammar bin Yasir, the three of them, they said, let us come together. If you have what? If you have booties, whatever you get, I get. Huh? So put everything together and what? We share it. This is what? This is also sharka. It is sharka. You know the kuffar of Makkah, they shared the Prophet Muhammad Sufan away from Makkah, leaving their property behind. They could not take most of the things. So when the Messenger of Allah lands the following year, that they also had a caravan coming with goods. Messenger of Allah Islam and about 300 or so of his companions also went to what? To obstruct them. So that they can also get some of this. To stand in place of what? The property that those people have what? Taken in Makkah. Abu Sufyan was the one in charge of the caravan. Information had reached him that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his people were coming to relay you. So he also sent a message to Mecca that come and defend your goods. This is the information I have received. So the people of Mecca came. The intention of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was what? Just to take the goods and they go back. So, but the people of Mecca, they said, no, how could he have watched? How could he have had that audacity? So when they him, we are going to fight this man. And they went, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliated them in the battle of Badr. To the extent that what? More things were taken from them. And this is the first battle between the kuffar of Mecca and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was said that Ibn Mas'ud and Amr bin Yasir ibn Abi Waqqas, the three of them, they said, okay, whatever we get, we are going to share. Originally, in the battlefield, whatever you get, if you face an enemy and you get something from him, or you get anything of the booties of the war, it belongs to you. That is the original rule. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whatever you get, everything will watch will be collected. Then, one-fifth of it will be for those mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal. Then the remaining will be shared by those who participated in the battle. This is what the later ruling. But original ruling is that what? Whatever you get, you take it. So it was said that Amr bin Yasir, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, they agreed that whatever we get, let us put everything together and share it. So this is what Sherka. This is the Sherka. But this hadith is also not authentic. It's not authentic. But the meaning of the hadith is what? It's correct. Why? Because the basis in Sherka, in partnership, is what? Permissibility. It's permissibility. So, and it is also betrayed by the practice of the people of Yemen, the people of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. It was said that, as contained in Sahih Muslim, when they came to Medina, the food that they have, that they brought with them, they collected everything together. They are now using this food, they are eating together. So those who are poor among them will benefit from those who had much. So when Messenger of Allah saw this, he was happy. He said, oh, there is love established among these people. This is what? This is something that is similar to what people call the cooperative insurance. Not the insurance, the commercial insurance, no. The cooperative one, and not the cooperative that people will do again. We are talking about the cooperative that what I have, what you have, will be what? Contributing money. If anyone of us is in problem, we try to assist him out of that problem. Not that you are loaning him. I know the cooperative insurance people do now. They will say what? They are contributing money. And if one of them is in problem, they loan him with interest. This is not different from the conventional riba. This is what is riba. But when you are loaning this person without any interest, you only pay the capital. This is what? It's ta'awun. It's cooperation, which is what permissible in Islam. Whether you are going to take it back from him or you are going to give him free. If anybody is in problem among us, from what you have gathered, you give him. This is what? Permissible. This is the insurance or the ta'awun cooperation that Islam calls for. So the people of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, they will practice this. So this hadith can stand in place of what? This hadith of Ammar, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Ibn Mas'ud, and Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas radiallahu anhu. But this particular hadith is what? Is da'if. And when the hadith is da'if, we don't use it as what? Evidence. But the reason why Ibn Hajar has brought this hadith is because some scholars will be using them as what? Evidence. And his conclusion is that what? The ahadith that people will use as evidence, he wants to put them in what? In this book. The hadith regarding rulings of ibadah, rulings of commodity transactions, and so on and so forth, that people will use as evidence, he wants to put them in the book. It's not telling you that what? All the hadiths in Bulugh al-Maram are what? Sahih. And that's why he himself will tell you, so and so person has reported it, bi isnadin da'if. You say, wal hadith, bi isnadin wahid, wal hadith da'if. But just telling you that what some people have what mistakenly relied on this hadith, thinking it to be what? Authentic. So this hadith is also not authentic. وعن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال أردت الخروج إلى خيبر فأتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إذا أتيت وكيلي بخيبر فخذ منه 15 وفقا رواه أبو داود وصححه. نعم, this hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah who said I wanted to go out to Khaybar. When Messenger of Allah ﷺ arrived in Medina, he met some Jews in Medina. Those who have said that what they have been saying to the Arabs was when they learned that there is going to be a messenger in Medina. They've learned this. There is going to be a messenger in Medina. So they said, they started moving from different parts of the globe. They started moving to Medina. Some of them settling there. So a lot of them are settling in Medina. And they formed three tribes. The Banu Qurayza, Banu Qaynuqa, and Banu Nadir. Three tribes of the Jews who are living in Medina. They are settled there, expecting the Prophet that will be emigrate to Medina based on what they are what. But eventually when they learned that the Prophet who emigrated to Medina was an Arab, Kafarudi, they disbelieved in him. Because they thought the Prophet to be one of the Israelites. So when he turned out to be an Arab, they disbelieved in him. And they started opposing his da'wah in Medina, trying to watch, to rock the society. Eventually, Messenger of Allah sent them out of Medina. And some of them were killed based on this. So Banu Nadir, Banu Qurayza, and Banu Qaynuqa, they all left Medina. They now went, the last time they went to Khaybar. So in Khaybar, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed them to be in Khaybar, but on condition that whatever farm produce they get there will be shared between the believers and them. So they were on this for a long time until Umar radiallahu anhu eventually chased them out of Khaybar as well. So Jabir radiallahu anhu is said to be going to Khaybar to collect what they will collect from these people. So Messenger of Allah was reported to have said what? فَأَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ, I went to the Messenger of Allah. فَقَالَ, he said to him, إِذَا أَتَيْتَ وَكِيلٍ بِخَيْبَرْ, when you meet my wakil in Khaybar, فَخُذْ مِنُهُ 15 وَسْقًا, take from him 15 wask. Take from him 15 wask. But this hadith is not authentic as well. The hadith is not authentic. But there was what? There was something of this in what? In Khaybar. That is, the believers, they had contact with Khaybar, and there was an agreement between them and the Jews living in Khaybar. So the companions, the Prophet ﷺ left them to be living in Khaybar and to be farming on the land of Khaybar on condition that what? Whatever they get, half will be for the Muslim and remaining half will be for them. For them to have what? Cultivated the land and what? For them to have planted something there so they will benefit that. For the Muslims to have allowed them to make use of the land, they want to what? This is what? Sharka. This is also partnership. But this particular hadith, saying that Messenger of Allah said, if you meet my wakil there, take 15 wasps from him. It's not what? Authentic. Inshallah, we stop here. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. نعم.
because you cannot, you know, be paid to, like the ambition of parents, you want to do someone. So this whole thing is a way of giving you time. You know, you need that by or we come back and like here.
Now the question is on somebody, on the hadith that you read, that somebody was performing Hajj on behalf of another person. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked the man saying, Labbaika and Shubruma. And he said, who is Shubruma? He said, a relative of mine. He said, have you performed Hajj before? He said, no. Then perform Hajj on behalf of yourself. Now it was not said in that hadith whether it was that the person was sent by another person, maybe as given him what he will use to perform a Hajj. Huh? So it was not in that hadith. So maybe the person was doing it on a voluntary ground or basis. If the person had been accused to perform Hajj on behalf of the one who has sent him, then in that case, what most scholars have said is that he cannot, if he himself has not performed Hajj, he cannot do Hajj on behalf of that person. So he has to tell the person that this is the Islamic ruling on it. Okay, come and perform Hajj on my behalf. Have not performed before. So if the person is going to send you, he will send you on Hajj. Now maybe this Umrah, that one is simple. Because when he performs the Umrah of that person, he can go and what, take another intention from At-Tan'im, for instance, and he will do his own Umrah. But Hajj is only once in a year. So he cannot do two Hajj in a year. No, it's not possible. So just one Hajj you can do in a year. But Umrah you can do as many as 50, 100 Umrah in a year. So it depends on how chance or how available are you. Allahu Alam. To join us. No, it's not permissible to do. The question is somebody as wants to buy a product from another person, but is paying in installments, and the person who is selling that commodity is not going to give him hand over the commodity until he has what, concluded the payment. So he has only paid part of the money. Then there is an agreement between him and the owner of that commodity, that is the seller, that if he doesn't pay within a time period, he's going to forfeit part of the money. So is it permissible for him to now get another person to join him, to partner with him, so that what they can get this money paid full, so that they can get the commodity? Yes, it is permissible for him to get another person to pay, to join in paying that so that they can get. But is it permissible for him to also make gain out of that person? It's not permissible to make gain out of that person. That is out of the person that he has come to coach to join in. It's not permissible to make gain out of him. Because if he wants to make gain out of him, what role is he playing? Is he selling something to him? If he's selling something to him, we have had the hadith, don't sell what you do not possess. So he has not taken that commodity. So why selling it to him? So it's not permissible for him to make any profit on the second person that what he is inviting. So the person only completes that, and they now agree on how they are going to make the profit between both of them. Wallahu a'lam. No, the question is, he is now making, take for instance now, what is left to balance is 2.5 million. But he's asking the person to pay 3 million. So that. Now, that means it's no more out of the. Yes, so he has nothing to do with the business. That's okay. But now he wants to benefit from the. It's not permissible for you to make any wasiya for any person that is going to inherit you. You have children, two children, three children. You now say, okay, so and so should be for one of my children. No, it's not permissible. As long as that child is going to inherit you, la wasiya taliwarithin, the one who is going to inherit you, you don't make any wasiya, that is any will for him that he should have so and so. But any person that is not going to inherit you, maybe from among the relatives, because this we should know, when a man or a woman has a male child, that male child has screened the brother of the father from inheriting, or the sister of the father from inheriting. That male child has screened them. They cannot inherit anything. But the male child cannot screen the parents of the deceased. They can't screen the father of the deceased. The mother of the deceased will have to inherit. Then the father of the child of the deceased also screen the brothers. Also screen what? The brothers. So two people here will screen them. The male child of the deceased screen the brothers of the deceased from inheriting. The father of the deceased screen the brothers of the deceased from inheriting. So if the deceased now make a wasiya for his brothers, that is the siblings, he makes a will for them, that they should be given so and so, there is nothing wrong in this. As long as what? They are not going to inherit. But once they are going to inherit, because in the absence of the father, in the absence of the father, the siblings who are male, they are what? Taking the place of the father. In the absence of what? The male child as well. So they will be what? They will be having way to what? To inherit. But in the presence of this, they cannot inherit. So this is just going back a bit to the issue of inheritance. So the one who is going to inherit you, you cannot say you are writing a wasiya for such a person. That wasiya is null and void in Islam. It can't work. So that is what Bashir did has nothing to do with wasiya, because wasiya is when one is about to die. That is, after my death, this should be implemented. This is wasiya. But hiba, gift, has to do with why you are still what? alive. So Bashir, Numan, Bashir was still alive. He now gave Bashir, sorry, Numan, a piece of land or a garden. So Messenger of Allah rejected this. Why? Because he has other children. So why are you making Bashir, Numan to be special? So it's not permissible. Unless if what you are given to that children, or sorry, those children or that child is what they need. How do you explain? Like you have a child now who wants to get married. You now furnish her with, or furnish him with things that will make the marriage what? A success. This is a need. A child wants to gain admission to university, so you give him or her support. This is what? Need. But that doesn't mean that what? Because you have given this one, you ought to give others. It is when they also grow to that level and they are in need of what you have done for this, then you do for them. But for you to say, okay, all my children, this is what I'm going to give them. This is new. Something new that people are introducing. That woman, a babe in the womb, you have to make provision for his schooling from Crèche till university. There must be a money set out for that. No, that is not Islam. When they are in need, you do for them. And when you not have, you don't have. When you have, you do for them. And they are in need of that thing, you assist. But when you say, okay, this money you are setting out, you are giving to your children what they do not need at that time. So this should be understood. If this is for a reason now, this one has what? Excelled. So you are giving him to encourage him more. So that this one will also what? Do. There is nothing wrong with this. This one will do well as well. There is nothing wrong with this. Because you have said, whoever does so and so, there is a gift for him. So it's based on what they have done that you are giving them now. So Allah Allah. This is what you are saying. No. That's what I'm saying, that you address the present situation. That education, the money you set aside for education is what is gift. So it's gift. So when you are given those who are what? Alive now. And what you are giving them is what they all need now. That is what, if you are giving them something that they all need, you give them. But when they are not in need of something, you don't what? You don't give them. You only give those who are in need. How is clear? So you give those who are in need. It's not something that you say, okay, because now you have the money to send this one to university. So that means all the children that are yet to born, will be born. So you are going to set money in. You don't know how many children you are going to have later. So that means you'll be keeping money. So that if this one comes, this is from his primary to, or from his kindergarten to university. If I have another one again, so you'll be setting it aside like that. No. The ones that you have, you do when you have. When you not have, it's not a must on you to send that person to university, because you have sent this one to university, because he was not in need of that. After the time you sent this one to university. So if you give your three children something now, the one that yet to be born, so you say when they come, because I gave them, I bought them a switch one day, so I'm going to buy you. So if you start calculating the days that you bought, or you're setting aside the money that you bought it, that okay, I'm likely to have two more children, so let me set aside the money for sweets for those two children that I'm yet to to give birth to. No, this is not Islam. So you give those that are available and those that are not available. And if there are females, there are males and females. You buy, take for instance now, a trouser, so to say, a pair of trouser for one. That doesn't mean you should buy what trouser for the. So you buy what for them, what they need. So like that, Allah. If it is Sharia compliant, yes, you can work there. Okay, now, there is a difference between buying shares. When you buy shares from a bank, or you buy shares from a company that gets loan from bank, or you buy shares from a company that is selling or producing something that is haram, you are what? You are one of the owners of, so we have addressed that. But now you are working. Take for instance, now a Dangote has a place where it's producing cement, and I'm employed as a worker there. What is my business with Dangote having gotten loan from bank? That's none of my business. What we are producing is what? Cement. So it does not matter to me where he gets his money, whether it's through loan or this. What we are dealing with here with is what? Something that is what? Halal. So, if you start looking for that, you go away from everything. This phone that you are buying now, and maybe you are selling as well, those who are producing, they are getting loan from the bank. What? What do you mean by work for a bank? No, that these are two different things. The bank wants to build a house, a place now where they are selling a lot of things. You can work for that. But when they are building a place to promote the riba that they are getting, you are assisting the bank in evil now.
Like selling land for a bank.
Yes, you are assisting them in evil, yes.
But if you want to sell land to them to build a house, sell.
Yes. That is what I'm saying. But the issue is now is that Sharia compliant, is it Sharia compliant in truth? That's another issue. Because most of those that will say, okay, they are establishing a Sharia compliant, those that they are putting there, a lot of them do not know much about the Islamic ruling on the transaction. A lot of them do not know. They may just pick some of those who are working with them before in the river, whatever. They say, okay, we are going to train you for the Islamic care. Who is going to train them? Maybe one imam that is popular somewhere who doesn't know much about the rulings of transaction. They just invite him and what? They say, we want to train. Fucking do shit like you think. The world doesn't know what is he going to impart on people. So this is the problem with the most of this whole Sharia compliance. So the evil that some of them are what causing is more than what the conventional banks are causing. Because you know the conventional bank, they are dealing in riba. Everybody knows this. But these people, they say, what, come, we have Islamic Sharia compliance, whatever. When you get there, it's tricky. You gave some examples maybe last week or 2 weeks ago that people will do. They just trick you into a new form of riba. So this is the evil. But let's say they are operating it in the way that is Sharia compliant, it's good. You are reducing the evil in the society. When a bank, for instance, now is selling laptop, maybe on credit, and there is no anything that you are going to pay, the laptop is so and so amount, but if you default, you are going to pay extra charge. There's nothing wrong with you buy from them. Because it's a genuine business. Islam has not said because somebody is dealing in riba, then when he's selling something, you cannot buy something from him. It's not Islam that says this. Islam has not said what you cannot assist him in what? In providing some of his needs. As long as that has no direct link with what? With his riba. So this is what the peaceful way that Islam has put down for us. Wallahu alam. You are just lengthening the issue. A driver working for the bank, is it promoting the river they are doing or what?
Yeah, yeah.
It's promoting the river they are doing.
But if it's one of the workers in the bank making the salary of the driver,
huh?
I'm a driver now. He's a banker. I'm driving him. He won't pay my salary, not the bank. I drive him.
That's not. You are working on a different ground. Now, okay. Well, alhamdulillah. No, alhamdulillah. Haram is still present and it's available. But the only thing is that a lot of people, we are looking for big job. So one job that what will be paid heavy salary. So we don't want to participate in what? In linear jobs. That, oh, how can I, with my status, be doing so and so. I read some weeks back, some people who said that they are in charge of this Ibadan Express, Lagos Ibadan Express. So they are now controlling the traffic. So a girl said she got a job here and they have been paid maybe per hour or so. And maybe she will get about 30,000 naira in a month. She said she had just finished his, what's it called? No, not school search. No, it's no, not NYC. This poly. NG, yes. The NG. So, she said that there are some who have just graduated and maybe they've done their NYC. So, some people now started commenting. Some people said, well, that's good. That is a sign of seriousness. This lady prefer to work rather than watch committing adultery or fornication, and this. Somebody now said, in fact, this country is a terrible country. How can a graduate be doing this type of work? This is the situation of a country. Somebody now said, this is nonsense. In America or Britain, do we have people doing things like this? Are they graduates or not? So this is the issue. Somebody may be a graduate and is what? He or she is a sales girl or sales boy in a supermarket. Somebody may be a graduate and is operating a barbing saloon. But today we believe that once we are graduates, we should be holding pen and signing documents and doing this. I borrowed a course in the political science department and they started talking about the Nigerian economy. And they were now rating people. They said they are usas, they are lazy people, they are this, they are that, they are not educated. Even the lecturer was also contributing. I now looked at them and I said, okay, I have a question. the tomato, the yam, the, all these that you are eating here, do you think it is your pain? This is your pain that you bring this. You say these people are lazy. Who are those bringing this tomato, this yam, all these things that you are eating here? You busy, you studying political science, you are studying history, you are studying this. If you stand on this, we die in what? We die in hunger. But these people, they are assisting the economy tremendously with this that they are producing. And you are saying what? They are not worth it in the society. They are not people to... So, now somebody has established a company that is producing maybe sandals or producing slippers. The production of slippers. Now, I work in a place where you are producing slippers. Is it a good job? I work in a place producing... No, I'm working. I'm not the owner now. I'm working. I'm putting the slippers, everything, the material together. Who said this is what? Nonsense. But this is where these rich men are making money. The owners of this. If those people who are producing those slippers, if they say they are not working anymore, the rich one will fall. So but we look at this as what? Minia jobs. So before we can say good jobs is when we are placed in a place where you just be writing. So those who do not go to school, there will be those that will be producing the slippers, producing the computer, producing the iPhone, producing the microphone. There will be those that will be coupling it. But those who go to school, they should be signing and writing. Where is that working? Not even in the West. In the West, both the coupling of all these things, those who are intellectual, they are those doing some of these things. So but today we want to limit the doing of this to those who have who do not have a certificate, who have dropouts and so on. So there will be those that will be coupling. But those who have who are intellectual, they should just be owning. Somebody narrated a story to me. Okay. I understand. I'm just saying this on a general ground. Somebody said there was somebody who trained as an electrician, so to say, and he was working with a company. So, but there are another person that is a graduate, the red elect or so. So, be telling the one that has trained as maybe. Tell him, do this. So the man one day said, do this, come and do it. Come and do it. And you know, it is something that is somehow disturbing. You see a lot of graduates of computer science, they can't operate computer well. So I want to say, you are graduate. If you want to stand on this society watch will be destroyed. So and that's why we should not belittle anything. The Prophet of Allah, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, kana ya'malu min ya'kul min amali yadi. He will eat from his watch, from his handiwork. So there are a lot of things we can do in the society that will fetch us money. So it may not be as lucrative as what we expect. It's just like some people live in Nigeria for UK, US. When they get there, you see, somebody will be complaining that it is difficult to live there, tax, and so on and so forth. Why are you living? You want to become what? You want to become a Dangote? You want to become a... It's not easy. It is with luck. The fact that you go to Qatar now doesn't mean what? When you come back, you come with what? With millions. We have brothers who have gone to Qatar and what? They are back. Some of them, it is difficult for them to even visit their family because they don't want them to watch. Demand from them. So this is the reality. Whether you are in Saudi Arabia, you are in Qatar, you are in US, you are in... That doesn't mean you make what? You become millionaire. And when you are in Nigeria, that doesn't mean what? You cannot become millionaire. It depends on what? On what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for everyone. But you have to work, you have to eat, do something. But for you to be looking for what? Very lucrative job that, the one who has that car, he's the one that has that car, he has 5 cars, he has 10 cars, he has built 10 houses. Which work? The salary will enable you to get 10 cars, 10 houses. Which work is that? Unless if you have taken something else, or Allah has blessed you in a special way. So we should not be looking for, we shouldn't have what high taste. That with this, when we don't get this, our high taste, we say we are not working. So just stay at home. Anything we get, let us manage. Wallahu a'lam. Well, it depends. It depends. But there is no doubt that we are all assisting one another. Nobody should see himself as what has not been important. A gate man is important. Because if he says he's not doing this, the rich man what will be in anxiety. Fear will grip him. We'll be looking for another person. So you are important. Anything you are doing, make sure you do it well. Allahu Alam.
Can a Muslim kid get ill? One. The second one is wonder to that black market force control, bring with that. Can a Muslim involved in this with the main aim of using the battle but for a repair of another item?
What is it? I don't understand it.
No, okay.
I've understood the question. Now, concerning the non-tested commodities, now it's garar. There is uncertainty in it. Take for example, somebody is selling a non-tested laptop, and I go to buy it with the intention of what? Kolonjeko Shishel. So if it works, I'll be happy. If it doesn't work, so this is garage. Because the intention that I already know that this thing may work and may not work. So buying such a thing that is also established is what is garage. This is not permission. But when you look at the item that is said to be non-tested, but you discover something here that you are in need of, though it won't work if you want to look at it on but there is something that you feel will work there, that you know will work, and you are in need of that thing. You are not buying because of that thing that you need. So this is not garar anymore. This is not garar anymore.
Thank you.
One can eat it because it's something that maybe... The snail. If it comes from the sea, or from the river, or from water, is something that you can eat using the general text of wa ta'amuhu, that Allah has also allowed you to eat the ta'am. وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَعْرِ. What you hunt in the sea is permissible for you. Wa ta'amuhu, and is what? Ta'am. The ta'am there is what? Said to be the dead animals of the sea, so we can eat it. But if it's something that is not on the sea, it's not in the sea rather, it's on the land, then the dead one cannot be eaten, except what Messenger of Allah said, Al-Jaraj, the locust. Allahu A'lam. Wasail da'wah, the means of da'wah, tawqifiyah, is it tawqifiyah? That means we have to take what we already have to do da'wah. It depends on what the one who says this, what he means by wasail da'wah, the means of da'wah. If somebody is saying what wasail da'wah is tawqifiyah, that we should not make use of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. We shouldn't make use of them for da'wah. Then this is what? This is correct. Wasail da'wah tawqifiyah is correct in this angle. Take for somebody says, if you organize a music or whatever now, a lot of people that will embrace this plan. So let us organize the music so that people will come to embrace Islam the way some people are doing today. This is what? Haram. This is haram. Because Allah is forbidding what? Something like this. So, if what they are going to use is something that is haram in the Sharia, then it's not permissible. So when they say Watari Dawa Tawqifiyya, means it's something that is based on what the text has sanctioned. But if what the person means that Watari Dawa Tawqifiyya is that what they will use during the time of the Messenger of Allah for Dawa is what we should be using now, then that is not correct. Today we are making use of microphone. It was not used during the time of the Messenger of Allah. So said, no, don't make Adhan except with what? Except with ordinary mouth. No use of microphone. If you want to call Adhan, to climb the minaret. Even there was no minaret during the time of the Messenger of Allah. So Bilal will go to the house, a very high house in the neighborhood. He will climb each torch to call the Adhan, so that the voice will travel far. So no minaret in terms of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there should be no minaret. There should be no use of microphone. So when you want to do da'wah, the mushaf should not be what? Put in the telephone, should not be put in the computer. It should be what? Paper or bones that we use to... So putting it in what? So this is what? Nonsense. This is nonsense. But the scholar who wrote the book, there is a book that was written by a scholar, Absalam Bumbarjas, Wasalu Dawa Tawqifiyya, is to attack those who are introducing bid'ah in the deen as what means of propagating Islam. Not this type of thing, he's not talking about this. Now I'm going to the real question, which is, can camp be used as what a method of da'wah? Can we establish camp to do da'wah? Now it depends on what they are doing in the camp. If the camp is there and there is a provision for the women, no premixing, no intermingling, the women will be on their own, and those women, if it involves traveling, so they will go with their maharim will be in the male side, they will be on the female side. So there's nothing wrong with this. It's like they are going to watch to a madrasa, like they are going to watch to a school. There is nothing wrong with this. But if there is going to be pre-mixing, women will be intermingling with men, this is what creating avenue for zina. So then women traveling without a mahram, or maybe they will introduce dancing, they will introduce all this, then this type of watch, this type of camping is haram. It's not assisting the da'wah, it's destroying the da'wah, the more, wallahu a'lam. For Islamic camping? Yeah, there is nothing wrong in that. It's dawah. Okay.
My question is I don't know if it's a date or not, but like my father used to say, if somebody is talking nonsense, he says go away the nonsense there and keep his head in there. So if they said if I got time to go for one, I'm not saying to clean away, but it's still allowed for one or not.
Now the first thing is this issue of Valentine. It's not something practiced by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is one. Not practiced by those who came after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when exactly did this case of the Valentine, when did it start? Who was the Valentine? So these are things that you ought to know. So this is a thing that has connection with the Christian whatever. That is their Pope. So it has something to do with them. So why should a Muslim now be celebrating what is meant for the Christian. That is what the Christians have introduced. Why should we be celebrating it? It has connection with their own religion. That's what they have introduced as their own religion. You know, their religion is full of bid'ah. So it's part of the bid'ah of their religion. Why should a Muslim now be joining them? A Muslim joining them in the celebration of Valentine's Day, it's like a Muslim joining them in celebration of Christmas, New Year. So all these are meant for them. Both the Christmas and the New Year, they are all what? Innovated celebrations, not celebrated by Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So a Muslim should not join them in this in whatever form. But because of love that is included. Now this man Valentine, how did he play the love? Was it in the right way or in a way that has to do with zina? So in a zina way. So why should you as a Muslim be celebrating love that has to do with what? With zina. Now, I understand your argument. But based on the hadith that you quoted, the Messenger of Allah, when he arrived in Medina, he saw the Jews fasting. And he asked them why they were fasting. And he told him the reason. What did they say? They said this is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people from the evil of Fir'aun. And Musa fasted it. Shukran. In order to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa fasted it. Musa, who was Musa? A prophet of Allah. So he emulated. Now, Valentine was Valentine. Is it a pious person? Was it a pious person? No, in the case of Musa, Musa was a Muslim. He was a prophet of Allah. So whatever he did was a Sharia to be followed. So this Valentine, not Jesus Christ, not Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Valentine, just an ordinary person, did something. So we are saying we are going to follow that person. Now what he did was not something that was okay. That is the way the matter went. It wasn't okay. Now let's say love. Islam preaches what? Love. Islam preaches love. But should I not single out a day for the love of my wife? Messenger of Allah did not single out a day to be called what? The Eid of love. That is the day of love. We have Eid al-Fitr, we have Eid al-Adha. So no what? Eid of love. No Eid of what? Of children. No Eid of food. No Eid of... So there are many things that Islam invites us to that are what? That are virtues. So if we want to create Eid for every virtue, there will be what? So many Eid. We have more than what? 500 Eid that we'll be celebrating. We are all students of knowledge.
Now, when people plan something, I don't like it personally. Like for instance, where I was doing in the man for the election I was running. They were saying doing the best day. It depends on how people celebrate it. As long as it's not in the house of Islam, And I have them question. Did Rasulullah celebrate this baby or not? And they said no. And I said yes, Rasulullah celebrated. It depends on understanding everybody. If I ask you as a Muslim, what do you fast on Monday? He said to me, he wants to celebrate Rasulullah celebrate. Why was Rasulullah celebrate fasted on Monday? Because he was given the life on Monday. And he fasted every Monday.
Because?
He fasted every Monday.
No, the reason why he fasted. Not only that, he was raised on Monday. And the good deeds of human beings will be taken to Allah on Monday.
Thank you, sir. Now, based on that, sir, Rasulullah recognized that and is giving thanks to Allah. If on my birthday, I now choose now, for instance, now I fasted Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Why I fasted on Tuesday is because I was born on Tuesday. And I said, Rasulullah can fast on Monday, for being given life, and I decided to celebrate my own life Tuesday after. Am I doing something wrong? If I said to somebody,
well, it needs explanation and clarification.
And now people are not condemning me for the celebration.
Leave those who are condemning.
But this is what I'm saying to you, sir, not to black anything. I have a friend now, he was going to be 50, junior to me, and he said he's going to Umrah, to go and perform Umrah for 50 birthday. And people are saying, it's wrong. No, it's how it depends on everybody. If somebody now decides to celebrate his birthday by calling to me and dancing and commissioning, that's different. So when we're talking about love here, that's why I say the name of Valentine, call it aside. Islam is not against being loved to your wife. Even if you now choose, if they say one day, and say, okay, I will even love my wife more. Anything wrong with that?
Now, the issue has to do with
that. About the day, they say, don't give them food. When you go and visit somebody, they have to visit. All these things, we have to admit that say, okay, if it's not people that people die for, they have to get food.
Now, I think issues like this, we ought to just deliberate on them and we discuss them with free hearts, free minds, so that we arrive at a good conclusion. Now, the first thing is that the issue of Valentine, for instance. We said, since we know Islam preaches love, that you love your wife, you love your children, you love your neighbors, you love... So is there any reason for singling out a day as a day of love? Now, what I'm saying is that, is there any... What's important is singling out a day. What Islam has asked you to be doing all day, every day. Somebody is now saying we are going to create a day as the day of love. So which means you have disagreed with them. If they are limiting love to a day, other days are they days of what? Of hatred? Huh? So when you say Mother's Day, there is a mother that is Mother's Day. Now, so there is a day that I should be nice to my mother. All other days, I should not be nice to my mother. So this is a way of what? Of celebrating or putting things that people just be doing. These people that we are talking about, Valentine now, just go to what people do in the eateries. Go to the eateries, go to the supermarkets and see what people will be doing. They will be doing things that are what? Evil. I was at ShopRite maybe the day before yesterday, and I heard somebody saying, Obinu one day ago, Ezeka love again. It's Valentine. So I, as a Muslim, what should I be watching? Why should I be praising things like this? What they mean by love day is the day of what? Nonsense. The day of what? Haram. When there will be free mixing between men, there will be what? A lot of promiscuity. This is what they mean by. So why should I be encouraging this? The love that Islam preaches is enough. You love your wife, you love your children, you love your parents. This is what? So this is what you are talking about. Those who have introduced it, they have introduced it in order to what? In order to support their promiscuity, to support their evil deeds. This is the reason why they are just looking for something that they will use as what? Stepping stones towards to gather themselves to do this evil. So I should not be a supporter of that. So that is one. No, that's why I said we have to look at it from this angle. So you are in support of what? Love, which Islam preaches. But those who have introduced Valentine's Day is for them to promote the promiscuity, not for them to promote the love preached by Islam. So that is one. So another thing is with respect to the issue of birth day. Now, alhamdulillah, this is a question. You are an elderly person. Your father, maybe you cannot recollect when his own father celebrated his own birthday. I think you can recollect that. Or when your story was not told to you that, oh, while you were young, my own father or our parents would celebrate our own. It was something that was alien to our society. So, if you want to be nice, you want to give people food, Islam is in support of this. I may cook food now, invite my friends. They say, okay, come and eat with me. Ali Radhalani prepared food, he invited the Messenger of Allah. A lot of companions will prepare food, they will invite one another. So, if it's for us to eat, we have what text for that. But for us to say, okay, I'm now 50 years, I'm now 40 years, I'm now 60 years, I want to show gratitude to Allah. So for this reason, I will be doing so and so ibadah, I will be doing so and so ibadah. Must we limit it to what? Whenever you are 50, whenever you are 51, 52, 53, you will be what? You will be doing a particular ibadah. You will be doing what? A particular ibadah, because you are 51, 52, 53, 54 now. Now, this is ibadah that you are doing now. And anything that has to do with ibadah, you have to bring text for it. Now, the funny thing is that those who introduced birthday, they did not introduce it because of ibadah. They introduced it because what? They want to satisfy their evil way. To dance, humanize, and do things like this. This is what they want to do. Those who introduce it. Unless if you have another story or history for birthday. Those who introduce birthday is what? To engage in evil deeds, promiscuity. This is the answer. But now we are not trying to Islamize it. Now somebody, let us look at it from the angle of what those who introduce it. Somebody says he's 50 today. He's not celebrating his birthday. If Allah has written for him that he's going to spend 60 years, he's now 50, he's celebrating it, drinking, intoxicant, humanizing, doing all this. So when he's 51, he did similar thing. When he's 52, 53, 54, 53, 58, 59, 60. Allah's word decreed that he's going to spend 60 years. Maybe as he's celebrating his birthday today, tomorrow Allah is taking him. He's taking him away. This celebration of the birthday, what has he benefited from it? See, because he died a day after his what? After his evilness, after his promiscuity. So a Muslim, as his age is increasing, should be what? Should be disturbed. That I'm closer to the grave now. I'm closer to the grave. So what am I going to, what have I done? What have I achieved? So in fact, he should engage, he should increase himself in what? In good deeds. But that good deed, does that mean that what? He should not fix it. That when I'm 51, I'll do good deeds. When I'm 52, I will do more good deeds. When I'm 53. So this is what? Trying to limit the good deed that one will do. Why delay your good deed till you are 51? Why delay your good deed till what? You are 52 again. You are 53 again. You have about 360 something days to what? To be good in a year. Why limiting it till what? You clock the 51. You clock the 52. So this, we should leave it like that. Continue your years in life, 51, 52, watch, continue your what? Your good deeds, which can be done anytime. Not that what, this, that there is something that I'm going to delay till I'm what? Till I clock 51, I'll do that good deed. So when I clock 52 again, I'll do that good deed. So is there any text that says when you clock 51, you should do this good deed? Nothing of Allah said he will fast on Monday. Not because he was born on Monday alone, because he was raised as a messenger. And because the goodies of mankind will be taken to Allah on Monday, there is another hadith that established this. And he said, وَحِبُّ أَنْ يُعْرَضَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. I love that my goodies, my deeds will be taken to Allah while I'm fasting. So he will do this often and often. Now, none of the companions, not Abu Bakr, not Umar, understood it that was, Messenger of Allah was born on Monday, and I was born on Thursday, so I'll be fasting on Thursday. Because it's something that is special to the Messenger of Allah. If truly I love the Messenger of Allah, I will fast on Monday, the way he will do. But can I now say, okay, I will be fasting on Thursday because I'm born on Thursday. I'll be fasting on Saturday because I'm born on Saturday. None of the companions understood it that way. They see it as what? A speciality of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So which every Muslim is encouraged to do, to fast on Monday. But for us to be fasting on the day that you are given birth to, this, there is no text for it. But for us to fast Monday, Thursday, we have evidence for that. 13, 14, 15, we have evidence for that. Fast today, not tomorrow, next tomorrow, not like that. We have evidence for this. So, since I have a lot of days that I can fast, why restricting it to the day I was born? I think what? I am a special being before in Islam that an attention needs to be what? To be paid to me. That, okay, I'll be fasting because I was born on so and so day. So all this, when we are trying to look at issues that have to do with the deen, we have to look at what? The pious with the scissors. If it has to do with ibadah, we have to look at this angle before we do anything that has to do with ibadah. Otherwise, this will be tantamount to innovation. But if it is something that has to do with the worldly whatever, as long as there is no text that prohibits it, then we can do. Then those who are celebrating the bad day, now they see it as something that is what? Worldly. That is not. And that's why they are engaging themselves in all this promiscuity, doing all these things. And we as Muslims, we don't want to do it the way they are doing it. We want to Islamize it. Why Islamizing it? Let us leave it for them. Without bad day, that doesn't mean I cannot eat. I can't gather my friends to eat. Without bad day, that doesn't mean I cannot fast. I cannot increase in good deeds. So without the name bad day, I can still get all these things done. So why limiting myself to what? Bad day. Now the issue of what somebody dies. Messenger of Allah said what? They should prepare food for the people of Jaffa, because what is preventing them has affected them now. They will not be able to prepare food. They will be sorrowful. They will be disturbed concerning the death of their father, the death of their husband. So people should assist them in preparing food for them. So this is the hadith. It's not that what the family of Jaffa should be preparing food for people to eat. But what we are doing today is that what the people of the disease, they will be those that will be preparing food for people to eat. Despite the fact that what they are in state of what? Sorrow. In fact, they will tax one another. How much are you going to put down? How much are you going to put down? Maybe the person you can get loan to do this. Islam did not impose this on us. We are supposed to assist the family of the deceased, not the family of the deceased assisting us now, preparing food for us. Now they will prepare food for themselves. And if somebody visits them, for instance, maybe from far place, and there is nothing wrong in the person eating from what they have prepared for themselves. Maybe the person comes all the way from Port Harcourt or Ibadan, or to, and instead of him looking for the restaurant that he can eat, the people that he has visited, they have prepared food. So there is nothing wrong in eating with them. Not because this food is for the late person, but because what? We are friends. We are eating together. So nobody is condemning this. But for us to say that there should be a special food that the family of the deceased will prepare so that we can all eat. This is innovation that is against Islam, and the companions, they also criticize that. Wallahu a'lam.
About what we can do to see them as a
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, Rasulullah. There is nothing wrong with that. Because when you pay it into the account, it's like you are giving them the money. It's like you have paid, you have given them cash. So they have the same ruling. The account takes the place of their own direct collection of the money. So there is nothing wrong with that. Yes, there is nothing wrong with that.
My daughter, I wanted to buy a car just like that, and she was trying to pay her car. She went to the account of what she was
looking
for. Thank you for that. The car is not wrong. So you see this, I told you I've known.
Now that's a different thing. That okay, maybe one has a page to somebody who is dubious. But you know the account they give you to pay. You know the account after verifying the account says what the genuine account. Even if it becomes what a court case, you have what the evidence of being what of having paid into an account. This is what they are going to. But being dubious is another thing. But is it permissible to run a transaction in that way? That is what I'm talking about, that is permissible. But on condition that those people, they must have the commodity with them. They must have the commodity with them. So if they do not have the commodity with them that you are going to pay, then and maybe you are going to pay you are not going to pay full, for instance, then there will be a problem then. How is it clear? If they do not have the commodity with them, that they promise they will get you the commodity, this is still permissible, on condition that what? There is description of what you want to get. You have agreement on what to give you. Since you can't see the commodity with them now, so you describe what you want. But the condition is that what? You must also pay, make full payment, not half payment. It's not permissible when the commodity is not with them, and you want to pay them whether cash or you want to give them money in their hands, or you want to pay in an account, you must pay full when the commodity is not with them. So then the risk that is talked about, one should also try to.
I think it's not permissible for us to buy good things, like I want to buy the food and
You have described it. You have described what you want with this. So if they deliver a generator that does not meet the condition that you have agreed upon, so you have the right to reject it. But the condition attached to that is that what? It's either you have seen the commodity if you are not paying full. But if if you are paying full, you pay full, then the commodity is not with them. This is permissible. If you pay full, the commodity is with them, they will deliver it to you. This is permissible. But if you pay maybe half, or you do not pay full, so if the commodity is with them, it's still permissible. That means what? They are expecting you to pay the remaining. But if the commodity is not with them and you pay what? Part payment, then this is not permissible. How this is played?
Yeah.
Wallahu alam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.